Joining us now in studio, we have Rice County Attorney John Fossum. John, how are we doing?
Oh, great. Good morning. Good morning, Andy.
It's good to have you here, and hopefully I'm able to limp through this interview with Jeff enjoying himself in Mexico as winter is finally setting in Minnesota. So, what do we have going on down at the courthouse? You know, Veterans Court was an issue you said that will be starting up soon?
We're hoping to start a Veterans Court. It's going to start kind of part-time it's going to start up in it's let me go back on that. We'll start this whole part over again. Is my microphone on? Because I'm all right. So I'm sorry. I can't hear it in the headphones. So I'm going to take off the headphones because they're distracting me. So the we've been working on for the last year and a half or so a veterans court, a veterans treatment court, which will be district wide, and our judicial district is basically Rice County and all the counties to the south, over to the Minnesota River, everything from Mankato to the border with Wisconsin and the border with Iowa. Those 11 counties will be combining to have a veterans treatment court. And what we'll do is bring in the veterans who can benefit from treatment, from coaching, from other veterans, and getting assistance in seeking the benefits that they're entitled to as veterans, which is something they may have been missing out on. Our community corrections department tells me we've got 31 veterans on probation in Rice County. So what we're trying to do is find a way to better meet their needs. And starting next month, we'll have access to this veterans court, which will help them get those services that they need, give them the opportunity to seek to get access to, again, to veterans benefits, to treatment, to whatever supports they might need. One of the key parts of a veterans court is having someone who is a veteran to be kind of a mentor to help work somebody through the system and help them deal with the issues that they've had in the past. And so we're having a kind of a slow rollout of that starting next month. And it'll be meeting in Steele County initially. Judge Lunig from Freeborn County has been a big proponent of this. Judge Lunig is a Navy JAG, retired from the Naval Reserve a number of years ago, and he's been a big driver behind it. And myself, the Steele County attorney, the Olmsted County attorney, and some of the other a number of other professionals in the area have been trying to get this going, and said we're hoping to get it started next month.
Well, it seems like a great program, taking into account, you know, a segment of our society that deals with a lot of complicated issues and sometimes can be forgotten, to be able to go get that help, get that mentorship, get the help they need to kind of reassimilate and some of that.
And, you know, one of the things about the veterans in particular is that they have a lot of additional issues that may not go well in our regular drug court, our regular treatment court. And so having that support of veterans, having that access to VA programming and other assistance that they might not otherwise think about or realize that they have available to them, and just having the mentorship of someone who has been through it is going to, I think, make a big difference for those folks. And hopefully we can get them at the beginning of issues so that they don't turn into repeat customers in the court system.
Yeah. All right. Well, nice work getting that going. Speaking of drug court, we've had a couple of ODs over the past week or 2 weeks.
I think in Faribault we had a couple of overdoses that were Narcan safes. We also had one death, which is still being investigated. And we have someone in custody, Mr. Clymer, who's been charged with the selling the heroin and fentanyl mix that caused the overdoses for the people who recovered. We don't have any charges yet pending on the overdose death. But we do have another case that we've been pursuing as a murder three. We have Anthony Fugali, who was charged with third-degree murder for the overdose death that occurred in Faribault last summer. And that case is progressing. We had an arraignment on that case yesterday.
Was that a fentanyl overdose also?
It was heroin with a fentanyl mix.
Not that heroin wasn't dangerous enough to begin with.
Right. And, this mixing in little bits of fentanyl makes it much more potent, but also much more dangerous.
Yeah.
And it's a huge risk for people to take. It's a problem, growing problem throughout the country, but we're seeing a lot of it here in Rice County right now.
I did see a statistic pop up over the last couple of days that right now in the country, Americans are more likely to die from an opioid overdose in a car accident.
I'm not quoting it as a fact.
It popped up, and I didn't get a chance to open it. Whether or not that's true, it is an issue nationwide that's really scary right now.
Yeah, and I guess I don't know the basis of those numbers, but I would say that the use of heroin mixed with fentanyl, use of methamphetamine is obviously a problem that we've seen a lot of in Rice County now just starting my fifth year as county attorney. It's something that has been a growing issue for us, a growing caseload for us. We have a lot more children and child protective cases because of the drug abuse issues that we've been seeing, and it's a problem that threatens to really swallow the system.
And I'm sure that as of right now, there's not one good solution to this.
Oh, there really isn't. And all we can do, of course, is deal with the cases as they come in. And so we're dealing with the fact that we've got, people who've died from overdoses, and we've charged, like I said, we charged Mr. Fugali with the third-degree murder for causing the overdose death of the young man he sold heroin and fentanyl to last summer. We're still investigating the other case, waiting for information to come back from the coroner's office so we can make a determination on that. And it is a problem not subject to easy solutions, but our treatment court, our veterans court, are all part of ways that we're looking to kind of reduce the impact and take some of those people who would otherwise be facing prison time and find a way to help them get clean, help them stay in the community, help them stay, become employed, and become productive citizens. And that's one of the things we're really looking to try and do.
Yeah, and the drug court has had some success.
We've had 16 people graduate from our drug court since I've been county attorney. There was kind of a time period where people have to go through. It's about an 18-month to 2-year program. So in the last 3 years, we've had, I think, 16 people who have graduated. And it's been, they've had a lot of success. Those people have managed to stay employed. They weren't necessarily employed before. Some of them have gotten GEDs, which makes them more employable. And that is a tremendous benefit to society, that instead of paying $25,000-$30,000 a year to keep them in prison, they're in the community, they've got jobs, they're paying taxes, and that's a benefit to all of us.
Definitely. We've had a couple cases where you've been working on over a while here that you can put behind you now. I saw Derek Chambers is a case you've been working on for a while, and that's done.
And honestly, I wasn't on that case, so I don't know specifically what happened with Mr. Chambers. You know, out of the 2,000 files in our office, it's hard for me to keep track of all of them.
Come on, John.
But I do my best, but I don't know any details on Mr. Chambers' case off the top of my head, I'm afraid.
All right. Any other cases that you would like to touch on, or any other issues that we're looking at?
We do have our murder case with Ms. Williams, and that's going Judanna Williams. That was a murder death which occurred back in September. That one is going to a contested omnibus hearing, and we'll be arguing about the admissibility of some evidence. And then from there, likely going to trial on that case. So that's one of the things that's going on.
And she was out on bail, but found herself pretty quickly back in jail?
She did. The judge raised the bail, and now she's back out on bail. And okay. So she is in the community, but has posted a large amount of bail to be out. And so that's a case that's likely to go on for a while. As long as I'm here, I've spent the last couple of weeks talking to legislators and going through legislative agendas with the County Attorneys Association. One of the things that I think we might see action on this year is the distracted driving hands-free cell phone bills. And from what I got from the legislators that I talked to last week and the County Attorneys Association, it seems to me that that's something where we're probably going to see some legislation this year. It's been offered the last couple of years and hasn't made it through, but it does seem likely that the legislature is going to pass a bill making it a violation to be using your cell phone, holding it in your hands while you're driving. So that's something for people to be aware of, and maybe something you want to get some details on from your legislators when you have them on.
Yeah, I know we do have Todd Lippert on tomorrow, and every Monday we have Rich Dreheim on, and that's something that has been discussed. I saw that they surveyed a lot of truck drivers, and the numbers came, or information came back, as these semis are sitting up high, and what they see looking out their window, the number of people who are on their phones that they're seeing mm-hmm. on a daily basis, it's scary.
Yeah, I was in Miami last year and just driving around Miami for a couple of days, and it was amazing. It seemed like everyone else who was driving was operating their cell phone at the same time and looking at their cell phone and using it and not looking up at the road, and that's a tremendous danger to all of us.
Well, and the scary thing, too, is you have a teenage daughter. I have a couple. They don't talk on the phone anymore. No. Everything is texting. So when they have their phone in their hands, it's not that they're talking. So when you see teenagers, when you think about them in a car, if they have their phone in their hand, it's a bad combination.
Yeah, and so that would be that's something we all need to be concerned about. But as I said, some of the legislators that I talked to opposed it last year have changed their position. So I think it seems to me it's something we're likely going to see a bill on, so that may be a change in law we'll be talking about this summer.
Yeah, and as people get used to that law, I got a feeling a lot of tickets are going to be handed out. So
that could well happen.
All right. Well, anything else while we have you here, John?
I think that's about what I got for this morning, Andy.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you for joining us, and I will have Terry get a hold of you to schedule your meeting next month and get back on the air with the professionals. So.
Right. Well, thanks, Andy, and nice to see you on this beautiful snowy morning.
Hey, it's actually winter in Minnesota. So, yes. All right. Thanks, John. Take care.
Thank you.